This is Bloomberg.
Mobile on demand.
This Bloomberg podcast is brought to you by Allianz, competing on the cutting edge in financial services and America's Cup sailing. Allianz, financial solutions from A to Z.
Bloomberg on the Economy with Tom Keene, Thursday, June 28th, 2007.
Kenneth Stieglitz, author of Snipers, Shills, and Sharks, eBay and Human Behavior, there should be a federal law against last-minute bidders who steal your precious desire. Also, Ken Stieglitz on eBay sellers and the dreaded secret reserve and the path from the Nobel laureate Vickrey to Meg Whitman. Auction Theory, it's a beautiful website. Stieglitz on eBay. Whatever got the head of computer science at Princeton University to do a book on eBay?
As a collector, eBay changed my life. It was as simple as that.
So you used eBay a lot?
Well, I still collect ancient coins avidly, Roman and Greek coins, but in the tens of dollars, not hundreds, thousands of dollars. And the market was almost non-existent. It just doesn't pay to sell things for $10, $15, $20, $30, $40. There were a few mimeographed sheets passed around, but, you know, it was very hard to find. The first time I logged into eBay, I was flabbergasted. Here were thousands of items that I would have to search days and weeks to find, and you know, from the convenience of my home.
Have we now seen the greatest benefit of the eBay process, and from here on, it's just a mature company, a mature auction process?
Well, they are constantly tuning what they do on the web, and it's interesting that they have captured a market. You know, there's a tipping point phenomenon. It was pointed out to me by John Morgan, among others. eBay does a lot of things right, and it may not be obvious at first what it is they're doing right and what's different about eBay. But it's sort of an amazing phenomenon, right? So you write a program and you put it out on the web and people send you checks. I think their first problem was hiring enough people to open the envelopes to get the checks out.
What was the biggest surprise you learned in linking Auction Theory to eBay and to the way bidders behave on eBay?
That's exactly the right question, and that's what I was struck with originally. eBay is exquisitely tuned to the internet in a way that stems directly from theory, because they hide your highest bid, and you pay the second highest price, and so on, and there's a deadline. And what amazes me, still amazes me, is that people don't snipe. What amazes me is that people bid early. Now, eBay tells you to enter your highest bid, sit back, relax, and watch. But what that does is, of course, attract other people. The fact that there's bidding on an item attracts other people, and it attracts bids, it attracts competition, bad for the seller, for the buyer. So what surprised me and still surprises me is the fact that eBay works in attracting early bidding.
Are you saying that eBay deceives the public by saying you should bid early? Is it a prescriptive approach by eBay to deceive bidders?
It's not exactly prescriptive. It's a description of the process. You enter a hidden maximum, a limit, and eBay will automatically up your bidding as people meet your bid. And they say, well, you don't have to worry about spending more than your limit. You just, you put in your maximum and relax. You have nothing to worry about. But you know, in a way, that's true. I mean, they're not saying anything that isn't true. But the effect, I believe, and the case is made in the book, that the effect of early bidding is to attract competition and raise the price you eventually pay.
I've been a sniper. I have gone in at the end without any bidding and bid on about a $200 item, and I got it. Is that illegal? Is it a misdemeanor in New York City for me to do that?
Good for you. I think it's an honorable thing to do from an economic standpoint. You were just doing the right thing from a game theory point
of view. But can I do that if I'm at Christie's and I'm bidding? I've got a hedge fund and I've made too much money and I don't know what to do with it. Can I snipe at Christie's if I'm paying $43 million for the latest bacon must-have?
Well, you can't snipe at Christie's, and the reason is that Christie's is not the same format of auction. And in fact, it's critical to think about the way eBay works as an algorithm on the internet with a deadline. It's got a hard deadline. In Christie's, the bidding stops when you're gone. So those are two, perhaps at first, they may seem like subtle differences, but the Christie's auction is a completely different format in that sense.
Was that the eBay revolution that they set up a timeline that ends?
There were really three aspects to eBay and how they got it right. One is the fact that the winner doesn't pay the winner's bid. The winner pays the next highest, as you know, since you're an eBayer. And secondly, what's posted, what people see, is that second highest bid so far. So the highest bid is hidden. This gives people, you know, an incentive to try to find out how high they have to go, or it gives people the impression that perhaps the item's going to go for a low price. And then, yes, the hard time deadline is crucial. And then Yahoo just went out of the auction business. They had an extendable end time. That is, if there were bids received in the last few minutes, I forget how many, then the deadline was extended. And they're out of the business.
They're out of the business, which is all you got to say about Meg Whitman and the franchise at eBay. Professor Stieglitz, a little economics here. My experience is economists give pause when they talk about the laureate William Vickery. What did he do in the early 60s which changed how we think about game theory, how we think about auction theory, and why is he really the soul and father of what we call eBay?
Yeah, he certainly is. When I first started looking at auction theory, there's no question there's one first paper in auction theory. Usually fields have kind of fuzzy beginnings, but there's no doubt about it. There's a 1961 paper, which is quite readable paper today and quite interesting, by William Vickery. It's just a superb, insightful paper. And at the time, Nash had proposed the idea of an equilibrium behavior. And what Nash did was put the Nash equilibrium together with some really careful thinking about how auctions work, and proposed in that paper what's now known as a Vickery auction, which is simply a sealed bid auction in which the winner pays the second highest price. So eBay didn't stumble on this idea, you know, in a vacuum. What they did was dip into the theory and take that wonderful idea of Vickery as a second price and polish it and match it perfectly to the internet. So the whole eBay operation is a beautiful example of a well-designed internet business.
Are you a seller, Professor, on eBay?
Yes, I sell sometimes. It's hard to keep buying things without selling them. You know, you run out of room.
How legit is the feedback system? If you sell stuff, or I believe even if you buy stuff, you can be rated. Is that just a marketing ploy, or is there real validity to it?
No, it's very effective, in my opinion. Of course, any system like that can be abused. But the system works because, by and large, after a while, when you read feedback, you tend to look only at the negative feedback. And you can tell, with experience, whether there's bogus, you know, emotionally generated feedback or whether it's legitimate. And sellers with feedback in the thousands of points with just a handful of negative feedbacks, they're generally trustworthy.
What's a shill?
A shill is someone who bids on behalf of the seller to boost the price. In fact, they're also called boosters.
What does eBay do if they find someone that does that?
Well, it's difficult to find people who are shills, but I think if they do find that a seller is consistently shilling, and there are ways of gathering evidence for that, then they will take action. They will ultimately suspend the seller. So they, to the extent that eBay does police things, they are looking for shills.
Are they really on top of this, or is it just marketing lip service?
They've been criticized for being a little lax in policing what goes on. I think it's, but I think most people are aware of the fact that it's a jungle, and that the caveat emptor and so mm-hmm. on. So most people are pretty skeptical and take care of themselves. People know that they're shilling and so on. Newbies, as they're called, and people who just begun in eBay, they mm-hmm. probably do fall prey to things like this.
Let me call me a newbie. I hate the secret reserve. What is the secret reserve?
Well, secret reserve is a secret. It's a price that must be reached before a bid is acceptable. So, for example, if you're selling something with you could make an opening bid of $10, but it doesn't count until it reaches some secret reserve, which you might put at $100.
And they do that at Sotheby's or Christie's. If it's a bacon and it's $45 million, let's say it's a $20 million reserve or whatever the number is it the same analysis? If it's a bacon painting at those galleries or a Picasso, or if it's a $10 item at eBay?
Well, the same principles apply, but, first of all, the floor auction, an English auction, so-called, or a type of English auction, is just not the same as eBay. There is a theory which tells you how to set reserves, open and close. Whether people should follow those or not is a question of whether people should follow the theory. But in general, it's the same deal.
What do you recommend for my listeners worldwide that want to sell something on eBay? Should they use a reserve?
The consensus among people who've looked at the question, I think, is this: that you should avoid a high opening bid. You should avoid a secret reserve because it does turn people off. However, if you're selling something that's worth something to you and you really don't want to give it away, there's a risk involved. There's exposure in putting it up with a dollar starting bid. So use the secret reserve judiciously, usually for high-priced items, in which people more or less expect some kind of reasonable reserve. The shill, by the way, in some sense, serves the purpose of a secret reserve, because the shill bidder is waiting there to essentially bid up. Mm-hmm. And this sort of thing goes on in Sotheby's and in Christie's also. Mm-hmm. if something may be sold to a fictitious buyer and they say that it's bought in and so on. So you never know when something's sold at an auction, floor auction, even whether it's really been sold.
Are you going to make marginally more revenue selling at auction versus a normal American pricing process?
Good question. Complicated question. First of all, I like to make a distinction between commodity items and collectibles. So if you're buying something that you can also buy, at internet fixed price or in your Walmart and so on.
Right.
That's sort of a different game. So you can ask the question, is somebody going to eke out a few percent one way or the other, get toothpaste for less money and so on. Personally, I don't find that as interesting as unique items and collectibles or things that are really rare.
Mm-hmm.
Their passion plays a role, and passion is important to people. Collectors will compete for things, and you might say, well, you see this in oil paintings and fine art and coins and all other areas. It looks as if they're paying ridiculous prices for it, but that's what's fascinating mm-hmm. about it. Who's to say that a painting is worth $10 million instead of $20
million? What's a Santa Claus auction?
Yeah, a Santa Claus auction is an auction in which people are paid to participate, and the theory that is they're paid to bid, And if you work out the theory, it turns out to be in a very large class of auctions that are all, in some sense, equivalent in terms of the revenue that the seller can expect.
Have you talked to Meg Whitman, or is it Pierre Amadjar? Is he the founder of eBay?
I've met Meg Whitman. She visited Princeton. She has ties to Princeton, and I was late for her dinner, actually, because I was sniping on eBay.
That is great.
That's true.
What would you say to Pierre Amadjar and to Meg Whitman if you had a cup of coffee with them out at San Jose?
Really, I think it's a beautiful job. It's a beautifully tuned mechanism, eBay. It's sort of like a Swiss watch, and they keep making small adjustments and changes, and I would say that it's, don't try to fix it. There is a tension now in eBay between transparency and sort of protecting people from fraud. So a nice thing about eBay is that it's so transparent. It's sort of like a fishbowl. You can see millions of transactions going on all the time, and mm-hmm. economists love that because they can collect all the data and make all kinds of studies of what's actually happening, and there's a gold mine, really, of data. At the same time, something that transparent leaves people open to interlopers, offers from other people, and illegitimate mm-hmm. offers, and so on. So they've made it a little translucent lately, I think. They anonymized the IDs of bidders at a certain level, and it's no longer possible to shadow people by hunting for what they're bidding on, mm-hmm. at least, and so on. So there's a constant boundary there and trade-off.
What's the optimum level of bidders for buyer or seller?
As many as possible for the seller and as few as possible for the
bidder. It's just that simple. Let's just keep the two extremes.
I think so. It's two sides of a coin. The bidder seems to me is the strategy is to decrease the competition as much as possible, and the opposite for the seller. So the seller wants to encourage early bidding. That's why it's a good strategy to have low opening bids and to have nice pictures and be trustworthy and so on.
What's the best steal you ever got on eBay?
I got a very these are esoteric items. I got a very rare not that it's worth a lot of money, but I was looking for it for a long time. A very rare coin from Alexandria in Egypt. I got a good deal as a seller, though. I found an old Princeton yearbook with Mo Berg in it and bought it for $1 and sold it for, not as much money as God, but...
You funded a scholarship at Princeton.
Sort of, yeah. Mo Berg is, the catcher, spy,
sure.
athlete.
Ken Stieglitz, his book, Snipers, Shills, and Sharks, eBay, and Human Behavior.
This Bloomberg podcast was brought to you by Allianz, competing on the cutting edge in financial services and America's Cup sailing. Allianz, financial solutions from A to Z.
This was a podcast of Bloomberg on the Economy with Tom Keene. Hear more of our news programs on your Bloomberg terminal at Bloomberg.com and at iTunes. Copyright Bloomberg LP 2007.